Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Three have died in Russia after Ukrainian drone attack on the day that peace talks begin in Saudi Arabia. In total, nine people were injured in the attack, which appears to be the largest Ukrainian drone strike in 3 years of fighting with Russia. And of course, it comes before US and Ukrainian officials meet in Saudi Arabia for talks on ending the war. And military chiefs from around 30 countries meet in Paris to draw up plans for this coalition of the willing. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by John Everard, former British ambassador to Belarus and North Korea. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Claire.
Let's talk firstly about this drone attack. The mayor of Moscow claims that 73 drones heading towards the city were shot down. What's your own understanding of what happened overnight?
Clearly a massive attack, not absolutely the first drone attack by the Ukrainians on Moscow, but they certainly haven't attempted anything on this scale before. 73 shot down, the Russians are claiming. Pointedly, they haven't said how many got through. Clearly some did, as you just said, three deaths and photographs up on the media of badly damaged buildings. It looks to me like this was the Ukrainians on the eve of the talks, as you've also pointed out, just pointing out that they still maintain the capability of striking deep into Moscow, indeed, striking, we think, quite close to the Kremlin. They were making a strong political point before the talks start.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where that gets them, though. Are you making that point right now?
I suspect that they were signalling above all to the Americans that the White House appears to believe that it can almost switch off the Ukrainian military effort by denying them intelligence, by denying them satellite imagery, and by denying them supplies. The Ukrainians have just demonstrated that it's not really that simple.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we talk about one drone attack. The Ukrainians are reporting that as their drones were heading towards Moscow, very large numbers of Russian drones headed towards Ukraine, 126, they say, of which they shot down 79. No reports yet of what damage the Russian drone attack did. But curiously, a lot of the Russian drones appear to have landed without warheads. Something quite strange was going on.
So what does that tell you then, that there were no warheads on many of them?
Probably just a bungle. Somebody launched drones and forgot to put the warheads on them. These
right.
stupid things happen in war.
Okay. I suppose, looking at the timing of this, I mean, do you feel it sets the tone now for these talks in Saudi Arabia, which are about to get underway?
It certainly added to the tone. I mean, the tone was already grim. The Ukrainians have effectively had a pistol held to their head by the Americans, and Rubio has said that he expects Ukraine to agree concessions. Now, so far, that is not particularly surprising. In any negotiation of this kind, you get the concessions. The question is, what concessions, how far, and crucially, and the big bit of the jigsaw that we simply don't have, what concessions are going to be extracted from Russia in return for an agreement to end the war and not to attack Ukraine again?
Mm-hmm.
We know an awful lot about what the Ukrainians have been saying, about what the Americans are saying to the Ukrainians, because the Ukrainians have been telling the world about it. But the other half, the other conversation, is being conducted behind closed doors, and we simply don't know what is going on.
Yeah, and fascinatingly, I see there are a number of reports from Bloomberg and others that Steve Witkoff, who, as we know, is the American envoy to the Middle East, is supposedly meeting Vladimir Putin in Moscow this week. I mean, that in itself, at any other time under any other administration, would be a fairly unusual meeting, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, but not at this time and not under this administration. Witkoff is in Saudi Arabia now. He's actually sitting, as we speak, in the talks with the Ukrainians. So I suspect that he'll be going straight to Vladimir Putin to say what the Ukrainians have agreed and to set out what the Americans expect the Russians to do in return. Mm-hmm. That will be a crucial moment.
John, stay with us if you can. I have Sviatoslav Yurash with us as well, Ukrainian MP with President Zelensky's Servant of the People Party and chair of the Irish-Ukrainian Friendship Group. Sviatoslav, thank you for being with us this morning. I mean, I asked John what tone these drone attacks set for the meetings in Saudi Arabia that are happening today. I mean, what do you yourself think about that as we head into this moment of talks now that we've had this unprecedented attack on the Moscow region?
It's not just that. We also had attacks, and they are unrelenting and unstoppable over the front line, which is over 1,000 kilometres, not to mention the Russian offensive all around our northern border. So as far as the fighting and attacks, it's not just Moscow that should be discussed here. It's also the fact that Ukrainians are dying and fighting every single day, every single night, through it all.
And what message do you hope Ukraine has sent overnight with this attack?
You reap what you sow, but the point is we are fighting a war. The much discussion about language here in general, using conflict, crisis, all the other ideas. The point is it's war. Russians have invaded in full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February of 22. Russians invaded in the north, in the south, in the east, and the point is they are trying to take our country over in a matter of days or weeks. Mm-hmm. They have failed to do it completely. They haven't taken a single region in the 3 years that we're fighting. So the point is that, again, we are fighting a war, and that war means that Russia will reap what it sowed as long as it's trying to take over our nation.
And what hopes do you have for these talks?
Well, we see the new American administration exploring various possibilities and various ideas. But again, I'm thankful for Churchill saying that is, Americans always do the right thing after they exhaust all the options. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that, again, as in all situations, Russia will show once again to America that true enemy of its is not Ukraine, is America, and it's attacking America through Ukraine.
But as John Everard so clearly said there, we know what is being asked of Ukraine. We don't, do we, know what is being asked of Russia, if anything, when it comes to concessions?
That is fundamentally an injustice in the situation, that so many of the things Russia has been trying to conquer here has been promised in one way or the other over the tweets or messages of all these people around the American administration. But again, the thing about these statements is they are ever changing. The statements are made one day and clarify the next. Statements are made in other direction one day and then change completely in the next. So it's very hard to really make out exactly what is the situation.
This is a very nervous moment for you and for all Ukrainians. You see the closening of the bond between Russia and the United States, and America holding the key to your lifeline when it comes to military aid and intelligence, as we've seen.
But also we see that all the other friends and allies we have around the world have stepped up in every way and have joined us in trying to support us and are actually coming together in terms of supporting Ukraine's situation, seeing the threat of American reaction to the situation, destroying all that support America provided. We see European countries meeting and clarifying their support to Ukraine in all ways. So we are heartened by the fact that all our other friends and allies of ours are coming together.
Mm-hmm. What has been the impact of having, in particular, the intelligence cut off, the American-assisted intelligence? How has that impacted you and your colleagues?
Painfully. I was talking about this very matter when I was meeting Congress around inauguration time, and the point for me is it's something that doesn't cost America much, but it's certainly leverage that they have in the situation. But again, I'm always heartened by the fact that the observation of American policy throughout the centuries, and that America will come to the right conclusion in the end.
Mm-hmm. We're almost 2 weeks out from that meeting between your President Zelensky and President Trump. How do you view it now with the benefit of that distance of time?
Well, It's very hard to truly make out every part of detail. Many claims about that meeting happened, but I see our president standing clearly on the side of truth and trying to repeat the American line from the Cold War that the agreement with the Russians isn't worth the paper it's signed on. So the fact that Russians lie is not a crude statement or a odd observation. It's simply a lesson from history that comes so clearly when you examine the Russian policy, especially to Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. But you've seen, Sviatoslav, how the other world leaders have managed Mr. Trump. You know, there's a certain amount of diplomacy. There's a certain amount of biting your tongue when you're in the Oval Office. Do you think that now, in retrospect, President Zelensky got it wrong?
I think President Zelensky has simply repeated what Ukrainians would repeat in every single encounter with anybody from the United States or anywhere else, that Russians lie, and to trust them is to make a fundamental mistake. And to trust the agreements they sign or that or the other is missing out the point of Russian policy through the centuries. So for us, the point is the same. We need more than a piece of paper if we are to discuss peace.
And John Everard, to come back to you on that point of the talks in Saudi Arabia, do you think much, if anything, will emerge from these meetings?
We probably won't know. I mean, don't expect to be briefed on one half of a negotiation at the end of the first day. We'll only start to learn what is going on when the Americans and the Russians have reached some kind of agreement. And my big fear on this, Claire, is that the concessions that the United States will demand from Russia will be nothing to do with Ukraine, that they will effectively hand Ukraine to Russia, throttle the Ukrainian war effort in exchange for Russian concessions in other fields, perhaps huge commercial concessions, perhaps also a severing of Russia's treaty of friendship with China. This might be part of a great effort to separate Russia from China so that the United States can concentrate on China, which it's identified as its principal geopolitical adversary.
Yes.
That makes me sick to the pit.
Right.
That sends Ukraine down the toilet.
Well, Sviatoslav, I mean, that's the nightmare scenario for you.
It is in every way that we are discussed and traded in every way. For us, it doesn't change the basic calculus. We are fighting for our independence, sovereignty, and integrity, and we'll continue fighting for that. And we are not to be traded away in any kind of way. Any kind of agreements had to go to the parliament in any case. And I fail to imagine that myself or my colleagues would just submit any dictum from any power other than our own people. In that sense. And we've been fighting and dying for this for the last, not just 3 years, but truly 11. And for that, we will not simply bow our heads to whatever is dictated to us.
Sviatoslav Yorash, Ukrainian MP, and John Everard, thank you both for being with us this morning. Now, coming up on the programme, a big announcement from Manchester United this morning. They're going to replace Old Trafford with a new 100,000-seat stadium. We'll be bringing you more on that in a little while. But next, clean water or more cows? The battle over Ireland's derogation to the Nitrates Directive.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.